रिकॉर्ड
नमोम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। So we have been discussing from Bhagavad Gita, and the last time we met, which was I think last week, last week I was in Vrindavan. I think the week before that we started discussing from, we just completed the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So I will do a quick recap of the last section where when Krishna, Arjuna says, Senayor Ubayor Madhye Ratam Sthapayame Achyuta Yavadetan Nirikshaham Yoddukama Navastitan Kairmaya Sahayodavyam Asmin Rana Samudyame, like that he says. My dear Krishna, please take the chariot and put it in front of in front of the army, in between the two armies. I would like to see who are those people who have assembled to fight against me. Dhartarashtrasya Durbuddher Yuddhe Priya Chikirshavaha. Who are those people who are here to support this evil-minded Duryodhana? I am very eager to know about this. So, so like that he says, and then Krishna takes the chariot and parks it right in front of Bhishma and Drona. Bhishma Drona Pramukataha Sarvesham Ye, what is that? Bhishma Drona Pramukataha Sarvesham Chamahikshitam Uvacha Partha Pashyetan Samavetan Kuruniti. Just look at who have assembled here. And as soon as Krishna Arjuna saw Bhishma and Drona and all the other relatives standing there, he says that Sidanti Mamagatrani Mukamcha Parishushyati. Out of compassion, he says that my limbs are weakening, my body is trembling, my mouth is drying up, Gandiva is slipping off my hands, and I am not able to stay fixed, and I see only contrary results in this battle. I will see all my relatives dead. How can I kill my own relatives? I should be compassionate. And then he also says, look, compassion is one thing, and ultimately things are done in this world for the purpose of pleasure, right? For sukha pravritti and dukkha nivritti, right? Everyone acts in this world to increase one's pleasure and decrease one's suffering. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham vanya duparamamba vindeta bhuyas tatayeva dukkham yadatra yuktam bhagavan vatennaha. This is the question asked by Vidurata Maitreya. The first question is that, my dear Maitreya, people of this world, they act for these two purposes, sukha pravritti and dukkha nivritti, to increase pleasure and to decrease pain. But almost always their endeavors never result in increase of pleasure, while always results in painful results. So, but still, what gives them the inspiration to continue? Can you please explain? This is what Vidura has. And same thing here, Arjuna is asking that, look, my dear Krishna, ultimately, whatever I do should result in pleasure. Otherwise, it is useless endeavor. If ultimately I don't get pleasure, then all that endeavor is useless. And here, I don't see any pleasure coming out of it. after killing my own relatives, what kind of pleasure I will get. Therefore, I don't desire victory. I don't desire the kingdom. I don't desire anything, right? And then he says, okay, we had a lot of discussions here. And then he says that, what is the use of killing all these people and attaining that? Because I was planning to enjoy all this kingdom and the riches along with my relatives. But if all my relatives die, then how can I enjoy? So therefore, even if you give me in return the sovereignty over the three worlds, still, whom would I enjoy it with? So therefore, the purpose of kingdom is I can enjoy it with my loved ones. But if all my loved ones are killed in the battlefield by me, then how can I enjoy? So there is no enjoyment. This is the second point that he says. One is out of compassion. Another is I will not get enjoyment. And the third reason he gives is that I will become sinful. I will have to suffer for the sins of killing my own relatives. Right? He says, Papa meva shreyadasman hatvaita natatayina. Even though they may be aggressors, and you may say that they are aggressors, kill them, because the Arthashastra says, but Dharmashastra, which is higher than Arthashastra, says that even though one may be an aggressor, but still, if you kill your own superiors, even though they may be aggressors, it will lead to sin. And because Dharmashastra is superior to Arthashastra, you should accept my line of argument. Right? Then Arjuna continues. He says, he gives the fourth reason, that by doing this, there will be destruction of family traditions. He says that even the other party may be overcome by greed, and they may not see the fault of killing their own relatives, which will lead to destruction of family traditions, and eventually, you know, he says that the Kula Dharma will be lost if the people are killed. Then when the Kula Dharma is lost, then Adharma will spread. When Adharma spreads, then the women of the dynasty will become polluted and contaminated. And when the women of the dynasty become polluted and contaminated, it will lead to Varna Sankara's very unwanted population. And when the unwanted population who are not trained properly will stop offering the Pinda and Udaka, the Shraddha, this thing for their forefathers. And when because of that, when the forefathers don't get that Pinda, then they will fall down. And subsequently, everyone will fall down. Right? So, and further, the Jati Dharma, Kula Dharma, everything will be destroyed. And the person who is responsible for such a degradation, which is me, because I have killed all of them, I will eternally stay in hell for this. Narake niyatam vaso bhavati iti anushushruma. Okay. And then further he says, so how can I get ready to commit such a horrendous sin just so that I can enjoy the kingdom? This seems very improper. So therefore Arjuna says, look Krishna, I will now put down all my weapons. Let the other party come and attack me and kill me. I think that is better than fighting and killing them and being the cause of such great sins. So in this way, Arjuna put down his bow and arrow, and he became very silent. sat down on the chariot and keep kept quiet. So this is where the first chapter ended. But before we start the second chapter, are there any quick comments, questions, discussion points that you might want to ask? You can please raise your hands. I will unmute you and you can please ask anything that you might want to ask, share. Of course, first chapter is a very straightforward chapter, but still, if there are some discussion points that are still there, you can please go ahead. Yes, Shyamali Mataji, I'm unmuting you.
Hari Bol.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. So, Prabhuji, in the first chapter, like all the basic lessons of Dharma Shastra are being mentioned. Right? So, even if we, like we are in the path of bhakti, so my question is, when we are bringing up our children, so it's not that we directly give them the principles of only bhakti. They need to know about the basic principles of Dharma Shastra also.
Well, here we should understand what constitutes bhakti. Are the principles of bhakti, do they constitute dharma or not? This is what we need to think about. Actually, if you see, the true principles of bhakti, when taken in completion, when properly understood, they include almost all principles of dharma. So we don't have to separately. The problem with us is we don't study the bhakti shastras completely and in totality. We read or hear little bit here and there, and we think that the bhakti shastras don't include dharma, so dharma has to be separately taught. And then we take time to read the dharma shastras. But if only we had spent that time to read the bhakti shastras properly, we would see that, you know, practically all principles of dharma, and especially those principles of dharma which are not contradictory to bhakti, are all included in the principles of bhakti only. So this is a very, whenever people argue that first dharma should be taught and then bhakti should be taught, you know, that argument is a baseless argument, or it is an argument by a person who has not really understood the complete scope of bhakti shastras actually. So ideally he should read and understand the complete scope of bhakti shastras, and you would understand that if one lives a life dedicated to the bhakti shastras, automatically that person will follow all principles of dharma. So therefore, that argument is a, in one sense, little bit baseless argument. But having said that, some principles of Dharma Shastra can be taught to children, because children, till they reach an age where they can very clearly distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, and on that basis, when they start practicing bhakti, only then it is considered to be bhakti actually. So till then, you'd never know. Just because he is the son or daughter of a devotee does not necessarily, and just because he is dancing in kirtan when he is 3 years old or 4 years old or 5 years old does not necessarily mean that he is a devotee. He may be, may not be. So the real test is when he comes to, when he reaches the age where he can actually, he is capable of discriminating between right and wrong, and he has the ability and intelligence to understand what is right and wrong. With that understanding, when he practices bhakti, when he has the free will to choose and he utilizes his free will to practice bhakti, that is when he actually practices bhakti. Till then, there is a good chance that he may not have the qualification for bhakti. So in such cases, you know, certain principles of Dharma Shastras can be taught, but then again, coming back to that, if he has reached the age where he can distinguish between what is right and wrong according to Dharma Shastras, then probably he has the age to distinguish between what is right and wrong according to Bhakti Shastra also. So, yeah, I mean, so till then, you know, you can, the generic principles can be taught, you know, bhakti can be made into, you know, like a Farrax or Serlac type likable way to the children, so that, you know, whenever they perform bhakti related limbs, you know, they feel so joyful, so that they have a good opportunity to accumulate a lot of Agyat Sukriti while growing up, and then when they grow up and reach an age where they develop the discrimination, they will choose, there is a good chance that they will choose bhakti, you know, that way. I don't know if it's relevant. You can share, Mataji. Is that okay?
Thank you, Prabhuji. It's a good answer.
Yeah. Anything else anyone would like to ask, share, and any discussion points? You can please raise your hands. I'll unmute you. Okay. So if there is nothing further, then I think we will start the second chapter. Let's see what Krishna has to say about the arguments presented by Arjuna. They seem to be very, you know, solid arguments, you know. So let's see what Krishna is going to present to refute these arguments, or is he going to accept these arguments and say, yes, you are right, Arjuna, you should not be fighting the battle. Now, what is he going to tell? Let's see. Okay. The second chapter is titled by Srila Prabhupada as Contents of the Gita Summarized. Okay. Now, my question to you is, I mean, I know that practically all of you have studied Bhagavad Gita. Most of you might have passed your Bhakti Shastri also, and I know at least a few of you have done your Bhakti Vaibhav also. So now my question to you, you can just try answering. Why do you think Srila Prabhupada has titled this chapter as Contents of the Gita Summarized? Anyone would like to share? Anyone? You can please raise your hands. I will unmute you. Why Srila Prabhupada has titled this chapter as Contents of the Gita Summarized? Why? You can try. You can. It's, even if it's wrong, it's fine. Anyone would like to try? Why has Srila Prabhupada titled this chapter as Contents of the Gita Summarized? Okay. So if you don't want to try, fine. No problem. Okay. Someone has typed in the chat box. So it says everything is in this chapter. Yeah, to some extent, yes. Actually, if you see, it includes karma, jnana and bhakti. Yeah, so this chapter describes karma in some sections, in the Buddhi Yoga section, and bhakti also in that connected section. And the early part is all jnana. The early part is jnana, the later part is jnana. In between, you get karma and bhakti. So, practically, the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the Acharya says karma, the last six chapters jnana, the middle six chapters bhakti, more or less, even though there is a spread of all three in all three sections. But still, more or less, so you can divide it into karma, jnana, and bhakti. And the second chapter practically includes all of that. So many of the themes which are presented here in the second chapter will be elaborated in the rest of Bhagavad Gita. So that's why it's called as Contents of Gita Summarized. Okay, now let's start and see what Krishna has to say. So, Sanjaya now continues because Krishna Arjuna has put his Gandiva down and he verbally has presented, not only through his body language is he indicating that he does not want to fight, but verbally he has communicated to Krishna that I don't want to fight. I am putting my weapons down. If the Kauravas want to come and kill me, I am willing to die. So now Dhritarashtra becomes little excited. So he thinks, wow, this is really amazing. This seems really amazing. So, you know, I will have, you know, this is, the kingdom is ours and none of my sons will die. So this is the best bargain I can ever hope for. Like that, Dhritarashtra was thinking. And Sanjaya wants to smash that idea. So Sanjaya says, Sanjaya uvacha tam tata kripaya vishtam ashru purnakulekshanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudanah. So he is addressing, he wants to smash that false hope of Dhritarashtra. So he addresses Krishna as Madhusudana, killer of the demon Madhu. So, which means indicates that he will always also be the killer of the demon of doubt. He is going to destroy all the doubts. That's why he says, Madhusudanaha, Krishna, the killer of the demon Madhu, and eventually going to be the killer of all the doubts of Arjuna. Tam tata idam vakyam uvacha. He spoke these following words to Arjuna. Ashru purna akula ikshanam, whose eyes was completely filled with tears. Kripaya vishtam vishidantam, who was lamenting due to compassion. So unto that Arjuna, Krishna, the Madhusudan, he spoke the following words, right? So here Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur says, in this second chapter, after destroying the darkness of bewilderment and lamentation of Arjuna by distinguishing the soul from the body, Krishna speaks about the characteristics of the liberated soul. So this is the contents of the chapter. You know, the first half is the talk about the difference between body and soul. And then eventually he describes that how with this knowledge one can attain liberation. Then he talks about what are the symptoms of a liberated soul. Stita pragyasya kabasha samadhisthasya keshava. Stita dirkim prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. How does a liberated person speak, sit, stand, walk, and all that, right? So Krishna is going to speak now. Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan uvacha kutastvakashmalamidam vishame samupastitam anarejushtam asvargyam akirtikaram Arjuna. Kuha, where from? Kashmalam idam. Kashmalam means impurity. Where from this kind of impurity or of bewilderment? Tvam samupastitam has come upon you, O Arjuna. Vishame, and that too at the time of battle. Wrong time. You should have analyzed these things before. Right now, the two armies have assembled here, ready to fight. At this time, you are putting your Gandiva down and thinking like this. Right? Anarya Jushtam. First thing he says, Arjuna's point was to fight with one's own relatives and kill them is adharmic. But Krishna says, you know what? You are not wanting to fight is adharmic actually. Aswargyam. You said that you will not get a favorable destination by killing your relatives, but by not fighting actually, you will not get a favorable destination. Aswargyam, it will not lead to Swarga, and Akirtikaram, and it will lead to infamy in this life. Okay. So he says it is adharmic. Therefore, no Swarga. And the third thing, it will lead to infamy if you don't fight. Right? So he's actually refuting a lot of arguments given by Arjuna, who said that fighting is adharma. So here Krishna is telling, no, not fighting is adharmic. Then he said, by fighting I will go to hell and not go to Swarga. He says, no, by not fighting you will not go to Swarga. Right? And then he says, you know, I will become infamous. And he says, no, by not fighting you will become infamous. Like that. So, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur writes, why has this bewilderment at this critical juncture of war come upon you? This bewilderment is not to be experienced by persons of good reputation. Anarya Jushtam, Arya means famous for the right reasons. Anarya means infamous people, those who have lost their reputation. So people who have good reputation, they don't get bewildered like this. And it is against both happiness in next life and this life. In this life, happiness is in becoming famous. And in the next life, happiness is in going to Swarga and enjoying. It will not lead to happiness in this life and it will not lead to happiness in next life. Like that. Okay. Any quick comments, discussion points? Basically, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur's commentary is very straightforward and simple. So, wherever there is some deep philosophical points, we will have a discussion. But even otherwise, if there are any quick comments, discussion points, you can please raise your hands. Okay, let's continue. Krishna says, Klibyam masmagam apartha naitatvayupapadyate kshudram hridaya daurbalyam tyaktvo tishta parantapa. Klibyam basically comes from the word kliba. Kliba means eunuch. Right? Or you can say effeminate. A male who has a very feminine nature, which means cowardly. Klaibyam means it. You can say the literal meaning is eunuchness, or I don't know if there is effeminate, right? For a male being effeminate, or the actual meaning is cowardice. Klaibyam mas magamaha. Do not be trapped by this cowardice. Do not succumb to cowardice, he says. Na etat tvai upapadyate. This does not befit you, Arjuna. You are known to be a great warrior. So don't act like a kleba. Don't act like a eunuch. right? Tyaktva, please give up. Give up this kshudram hridaya daurbalyam. Hridaya is heart, daurbalyam is weakness, kshudram is petty. Please give up this petty weakness of heart and uttishta, just rise up, O Parantapa, O afflictor of our enemies. So basically, you know, Krishna knows how to excite or incite anger in a Kshatriya. So you call a Kshatriya a eunuch or you know, in English they say don't be a sissy. Sissy means an effeminate male, you know, who is like, you know, who is very shy and you know, cowardly like that. So for a Kshatriya, if you want to really make him angry, you call him an effeminate person. Klaibhyam mas magamapartha, don't succumb to this kind of feminine cowardice. This does not befit a great valorous Kshatriya like you. Please give up this petty weakness of heart and rise up. O Parantapa, he is addressing Arjuna as Parantapa. Means, look, you are very much capable of punishing your enemies. But people will not think that you are not fighting because you are compassionate. People will think that you are not fighting because you are incapable of defeating them and you are afraid of them. But you are Parantapa. You are very much capable of defeating them. So you should get up and fight and defeat them. That's what Krishna is indicating here. So he says, do not become cowardly, do not become impotent, O Partha. Though you are the son of Pritha, you have acted like this. So Pritha is the daughter of a great Kshatriya. She comes in a great Kshatriya lineage. So therefore you are Partha, you come in such a valorous family. So how could you act this way? Right? Do not yield to this. This may occur among other inferior Kshatriyas, but in you, my dear friend, it is not proper at all. You know, other incapable Kshatriyas may act like a coward, but capable and powerful Kshatriyas like you should not act like this. Do not, so, but Arjuna may say, do not worry about my lack of bravery. Do not think that I am a coward. One must consider the precepts of Dharma in regards to Bhishma, Drona and other elders, and also consider the aspect of compassion in regard to the sons of Dhritarashtra, who being weaker than I, being afflicted by my weapons, are about to die. So he says, Arjuna says, it is not cowardice. Then what is it? He says, it is respect to elders and compassion to Kauravas. I don't want to fight not because of cowardice, but it is due to respect to my elders like Bhishma and Drona and compassion towards Kauravas. So, but Krishna says, this is not discretion from principles of Dharma, nor is it mercy. So Krishna's response is that this is not Dharma. And this is not compassion. Then what is it? Then what is it? It is bewilderment and lamentation which are indications of a weak mind. This is weak-heartedness. Therefore, give up this weakness of mind and rise up. O conqueror of enemies, you who afflict enemies, just fight. So Arjuna may say, no, 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 I am not a coward. I don't want to fight because I want to respect the elders and I want to show compassion towards my cousin brothers. So Krishna says, what? This is not dharma. This is not proper respect. And this is not even compassion. It is pure weak-heartedness. Therefore, you give up this weak-heartedness, get up and fight. Any quick comments, discussion points before we move ahead? You can please raise your hands. I will unmute you. Anyone? Okay. So, Arjuna continues. Arjuna says, Katam Bhishmam Aham Sankhe Dronam Cha Madhusudana Ishubhi Pratiyotsyami Pujarha Varisudana. So he says, oh Madhusudana. Okay. There is one hand up. Sonar Sakhi Mataji, you can please go ahead.
Prabhuji, last shloka ka jo abhi jaise Krishna has cleared Arjuna's doubt many times, we also get confused between the jaise ki what Arjuna is saying, no? But Krishna was there to guide him that this is not compassion and this is not like what arguments Krishna is giving. This is cowardness and all. So in our life also sometimes we get such situations what we feel that is bhakti is sometimes that is a duty of the devotee. So sometimes it is said that there are always while doing the choices there are always like this situation. So how we should learn from this shloka or how to get practical guidance?
I mean, that's why we should always have like-minded, affectionate, exalted devotees with whom we are connected, with whom we feel very comfortable, with whom we are very much willing to open our heart and discuss. As Rupa Goswami says, Sajatiya ashe snigde sadhu sanga svatovare. So he says, what is association? What is useful association? He says four aspects of useful association. First is sajatiya ashe. Sajatiya ashe means like-minded. Okay. Then it should be snigde. Snigde means affectionate. Okay. So if there is like-mindedness, but if there is no affection, then it leads to competition and envy. So it should be like-minded, there should be affection. And he should be a sadhu, sadhu sangha. And what kind of sadhu? He says swato vare. Swato means in compared to oneself, vare, he should be more advanced. So, if we have this kind of more advanced, so if we are always connected to these kind of Vaishnavas with whom we are very comfortable sharing our heart and seeking guidance, then that is always good. You know, whenever we are in these kind of situations, we can always approach them and ask them for guidance. Is that okay, Mate?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Any other quick comments, discussion points anyone would like to ask? Anything? You can please raise your hands. Okay, Shamli Mataji.
I'm not sure what my question exactly is.
But this Hridaya Daurbalyam, it seems to be something that is very much not proper for Arjun. But like, I sometimes feel that this situation is something that is very natural. For example, a woman, you know, mm-hmm. affection for family, and you know, we tend to think a lot. This probably, I don't know, bewilderment may be something that is wrong. But how do we justify what Krishna is like? How can we be convinced that yes, this is for us also?
How do we understand that this is? Can you repeat your question? I'm not very clear. Okay, I'll unmute you again.
Yeah, sorry, I muted myself. Yeah. So something like you know, when Krishna says that, when Krishna tells Arjun that you know, this doesn't suit you, you know, your thinking is wrong.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You're bewildered.
Yeah.
But I'm not very sure if Arjun was a woman, would he say this? Like, is it universal?
Well, now, with this presentation alone, with this statement alone, we cannot come to a conclusion. Now, Krishna is going to substantiate, he is going to give substantiation, or he is going to give reasons why he is speaking this. So, he said that anyone who feels compassionate towards the family members, are they bewildered? Well, not necessarily, but if that kind of compassion is acting as a stumbling block towards one's execution of dharma, which is meant for oneself, then it is weakness of heart. Then due to weak-heartedness, we are unwilling to perform our dharma. But it is not always that for a woman or a man, for that matter, having a compassionate disposition towards one's family members, it's not always necessarily due to weak-heartedness. It may be, it need not always be. And that kind of compassion need not always be contrary to one's dharma. Like, say, for example, Brahmaji in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, he says, Tavad ragadayas tenas tavat kara graham graham tavan mohongri nigado yavat krishna natejana. He says, Tavad ragadayas tenah. So, he says that attachment will become thieves stealing one's spiritual credits, tavat kara graham graham, and the house will become a prison house, completely binding one to this material world, tavan mohongri nigado, and one's compassionate connection with the family members will act as foot shackles, binding one to this material world, yavat krishna natejana, only as long as one is not a devotee and one's family members are not devotees. So if one is a devotee and one's family members are devotees, and if one has affectionate bonding with them, that affectionate bonding is affection shown towards a Vaishnava. So even though that Vaishnava happens to be a family member, that affection towards a family member is not necessarily it's a weakness of heart. So therefore one has to see it that way. It is not like a universal principle. It is not that all women have it is natural, but one has to see whether that is coming it becomes an obstacle towards one's execution of dharma, own dharma, whether that dharma may be bhakti dharma or kshatriya dharma or stri dharma, whatever it is. When it becomes an obstacle and we know that it is an obstacle, and still because of a weak-hearted affection and attraction, we are not executing, then it becomes weakness of heart. So is this a universal principle? Yes, in one sense, yes, but not necessarily. I don't know if it's clear, but I will unmute you, Mata. You can share your thoughts.
Yes, Prabhuji, it's pretty clear. So just one more question if we have that. Just thinking aloud. So if, not sure, but yeah, if this, this, let me think, Prabhuji. I'll have to get back.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime you can just raise your hands and then we'll take it.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anything else anyone would like to share, add? Okay. If there is nothing, then we will move ahead. So then, Arjuna says, Katam Bhishmam Aham Sankhe Dronam Cha Madhusudana Ishubhi Pratiyotsyami Pujarhav Adhisudana. So, very powerful point Arjuna is making here. Oh, Madhusudana, he says, you are Madhusudan. You are the killer of Madhu, the demon. You didn't kill your own relatives. And you are Arisudana. You are the killer of your enemies. Right? You are the killer of Madhu, the demon, and you are the killer of enemies. You are not Sandipani Sudan. You didn't kill your Guru Sandipani Muni. Huh? And you are not the killer of your own grandfather. Right? So, you didn't kill your grandfather, you didn't kill your Guru. And you are standing here and you are asking me to kill my grandfather and Guru. Right? You worshipped your grandfather, you worshipped your Guru, but you are asking me to kill my grandfather and Guru. How fair it is? Is it fair? He says, Katam aham ishubihi pratiyotsyami. Katam aham, how can I, ishubihi, using arrows, pratiyotsyami, fight with arrows, how can I fight with arrows, sankhye, in the battlefield, bhishmam dronam cha, bhishma and drona, Puja Arhav, who are fit to be worshipped by me, you are asking me to fight and kill them using arrows? You are Madhusudan, you are Arisudan, you are the killer of the demon Madhu and your enemies. You are not the killer of your own Guru and grandfather. Why are you asking me to do that? Right? According to scriptures of Dharma, not respecting those worthy of worship is a cause of bondage. Pratibadnati hi shreyah pujya puja vyatikramah. So he is quoting Dharma Shastra. Krishna said, look, aggressor should be killed. This is what Shastra say. But he quoted Artha Shastra. Now, Krishna is quoting Dharma Shastra. He says, but the Dharma Shastra, which are higher than Artha Shastra, they say, that if you do not respect a person who is fit to be respected, then it leads to bondage to this material world. And here you are not asking me to disrespect, you are asking me to outright fight and kill those elders which are fit to be worshipped by me. Therefore, I withdraw from fighting. How can I kill them? The form pratiyotsyami is used instead of the form pratiyotsye. Okay, some grammar. But those two elders are fighting against you. Why are you not able to fight against them? So, Krishna's point is, look, Sandipani Muni and Ugrasen did not fight with me, or so he did not fight with me, so why should I fight with them? But in your case, Bhishma and Drona, even though they are your grandfather and guru, they are fighting with you. So why should you not fight with them? So therefore, you are not giving a good example. Sandipani Muni did not pick up bow and arrow and start fighting with me. He did not try to kill me. So I did not fight with him. Your case is different. Here is Bhishma and Drona with bow and arrows in their hands, ready to kill you. So why should you not fight? So you are not comparing apples and apples. You are comparing apples with oranges. This is not fair. This is what Krishna says. But Arjuna says, no, I cannot do so, for they are worthy of worship. Okay, still, even though they are fighting, but what does Dharma say? Dharma, according to Dharma, I should be respectful towards them. I should show respect to those who deserve to be shown that respect. So I should offer flowers to their feet in devotion rather than sharp arrows in anger. Oh friend Krishna, even you injure only the enemies in battle and not your own guru Sandipani Muni or your friends the Yadus or Madhusudan. Oh Madhusudan, the killer of Madhu. Madhu was your... So he says, oh, the killer of Madhu. But Krishna says, oh, but I am a descendant of Madhu in the ancient lineage of the Yadu dynasty. So in the Yadu dynasty, one of the descendants is called as Madhu. So therefore, that is another reason why Krishna is called as Madhava, because he is the descendant of Madhu. So Arjuna says, Krishna says, hey, how could I have killed Madhu? Madhu lived much before me. I am the descendant of Madhu. How could I have killed Madhu? So he says, no, I am not talking about that Madhu. He says, I am speaking about the demon Madhu who was your enemy, Arisudana. Here, this is what he says. That is why he uses the word Madhusudana and Arisudana. Because Madhusudana could mean killer of Madhu, one's own ancestor. But he says, no, not that ancestor. Your enemy Madhu. Like that. So that's what here he is indicating. So how can I fight with those and kill those who are fit to be shown respect by me? Like that. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions? You can please raise your hands. Anyone? Okay. Then Arjuna continues. He says, Guru Nahatva hi Mahanubhavan Shreyo Bhoktum Vaikshamapi Haloke Hatvartha Kamams to Guru Nihaiva Bunji Abogan Rudira Pradiktan. He's making a very, very strong statement here, Arjuna. He says, Vaikshyam Bhoktum Api Shreyaha. Bhoktum means to eat. Vaikshyam means by taking bhiksha, by begging. He says, Shreyaha means better. Arjuna is telling, it is better, I will better beg and eat. Ihaloke, in this life. Mahanubhavan Guru Nahatva. It is better that I beg and eat than to enjoy the kingdom by killing the elders who are fit to be worshipped by me. Guru Nahatva, and by killing these gurus, Arthakamamstu, even though they may be greedy for wealth, but still by killing them, Iha Bunjiya Bogan, these objects which I am trying to enjoy, Rudira Pradigdan, it will be contaminated with their blood. Right? How can I enjoy? Right? Yeah. If someone is trying to eat something, you know, and someone's blood falls on that eatable, you know, how can one eat that? And this will be the blood of Bhishma and Drona, my dear worshipable grandfather and guru. So every time I try to enjoy it, I will see their blood. How can I enjoy? Right? So, because Krishna is, Arjuna is telling, I will not fight. Krishna is asking, if you don't want the kingdom, then how will you live? So, Krishna's Arjuna says, oh, I will live by begging. Even though it is not recommended for the Kshatriyas, it is condemned profession for a Kshatriya to beg and eat, but still, at least, whatever I try to enjoy will not be tainted with the blood of my superiors, right? It is better to eat the food got from begging. Though it will bring infamy in this life, it will not be inauspicious for future lives. Okay, ye life mein people mujhe gali denge, ninda karenge, you know, they will criticize me. But at least in future life, I will not suffer. So he says, but Krishna may say, look, they may be your guru and grandfather, but they have sided with Duryodhana. Okay? Because they have sided with Duryodhana, they should be rejected. Because having sided with Duryodhana, they have become proud. And therefore, they have lost their discrimination about what is right and what is wrong. Right? So, what is wrong in killing them? They have lost the discrimination. So what is wrong in killing them? One may say. And Arjuna is telling, no, you should not say like that. Because you know what Mahabharata says? Gurorapi avaliptasya karma janatah utpata pratipannasya parityago vidiyate. One should reject the guru who is proud and does not know proper behavior, who becomes engaged in sinful life. So Krishna says, one should reject them. Krishna is telling, look, those who have given up dharma, even though it may be one's guru, one should reject that guru. The Shastra says, but Arjuna says, oh, but this does not apply to Bhishma and Drona. They are Mahanubhavan, they are great souls. What fault is there in Bhishma and others who have control over time and lust? So Bhishma, he remained a brahmachari for his whole life. He gave up his whole youth so that his old father could enjoy. Do you think such a Bhishma is faulty and he is controlled by lust? No. So he is Mahanubhavan. He is a great soul. Yes, what you say is right, that a fallen guru or an elder should be given up. But that is not the case with Bhishma and Drona. But but Bhishma in Mahabharata, he tells to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Bhishma says, Artasya Purusho Daso Dasastu Arto Nakasyachit. Iti Satyam Maharaja Baddosmi Artena Kauravaihi. So this is Bhishma himself telling Yudhishthira Maharaj, Artasya Purusho Daso Dasaha Dasastu Arto Nakasyachit. Purushaha, a person becomes a servant of wealth. Whereas Artaha, wealth na kasyachit dasaha. Wealth is not subservient to anyone. Man is subservient to wealth. Iti satyam maharaja. This is the truth, my dear King Yudhishthir. Baddosmi artena kauravaihi. I am completely bound by the wealth of the Kauravas. This is spoken by Bhishma in Mahabharata. And Krishna is quoting this. Right? Or other similar such verses where clearly Bhishma is told that I am bound by the wealth of the Kauravas. Therefore, Krishna says, has not their great character been destroyed by such desire for wealth? So Arjuna says, yes, that may be true, but if I will kill them, I will still be unhappy. He may be Arthakamams too. He may have been distracted due to this desire for wealth. But still, if I kill them, I will be unhappy. Even in those Kurus who are greedy for wealth, if I should enjoy that wealth, it will be contaminated with their blood. The meaning is this: even though they have desire for wealth, they are still my Gurus. Therefore, in killing them, because I commit the sin of killing Guru, my enjoyment will be mixed with that sin. So being mixed with blood means mixed with that sin of killing my own Guru and grandfather. That is the argument here given by Arjuna, where he says, it is better that I live by begging. I know it is not dharma of a kshatriya, but still a great, it may be little bit adharmic, but I don't want to commit the greater adharmic activity of killing my own guru and grandfather, because in doing that, even though I may win the kingdom, but that kingdom will be tainted with their blood, indicating that that kingdom, along with that kingdom, I will have to take mountains of sin for killing such exalted personalities. This is the argument given by Arjuna here. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions? You can please raise your hands. Anything? Anyone? Okay. If there is nothing, I will just pause for 1 minute. Just give me 1 minute. I'll drink some water and come quickly. I forgot to get my bottle. In the meantime, it is 9:05. You can please think of some questions, either directly from whatever we have discussed today, or if you have any other questions, because I had promised that 9 to 9:30, even if you may have some generic questions or discussion points, we can take. So it's I will give you some time. I already see two hands. I will quickly go drink water and come. If in the meantime, if you can, if you even have some generic questions which may not be, which are shastric or application oriented, but not directly related to the subject matter that we have discussed, you can still raise your hands. We can take that discussion. But give me 1 minute. I'll just drink some water and come. Yes, Sachipran Prabhu, I am unmuting you.
Hari Bol Prabhuji, Dandat Panam.
Yes, Prabhu, Dandat Prabhu.
My question here is, Arjuna, how he completely, you know, forget about all the bad thing happened with his wife Draupadi, and that time these all great warriors are Bhishma Pitama and all they were present in the assembly. So is it not a duty of a husband to protect his wife, and he failed to commit that duty?
Well, you mean to say in the Asat Sabha when she was being disrobed, he did not protect? Yeah, see,
and neither any of those great Mahanubhavas, being the Kshatriyas and Brahmacharis with so many tapasvis, they were tolerated simply this act. They are not the we can say, although they were completely neutral, that means they were taken side of Dhritarashtra only, the Duryodhana only.
Well, there must be particular reasons why they did like that. I have not read Mahabharata, and there must be some explanations given why they did what they did, whether they did was exactly dharmic or not. Because certain things, because we do not know the complete details of the dharma shastras, dharmasat, you know, gahana karmano gatihi, you know, the details of dharma are very, very complicated. Say, for example, let's take the simple case of atithi dharma. So it's not very straightforward, actually. So atithi dharma, how should guest reception be done? It's given in dharma shastras. But what about guest reception, which is to be done when the host is not in his home? Then what kind of changes need to be done? That is one complication. Second thing, what if the host is not only not at home, but on the battlefield? Then what further adjustments need to be made? Not only that, what if the host is not at home, he is on the battlefield? Not only is he on the battlefield, if he is lying the bed of horse, about to give up his life, so then what kind of changes need to be in the atithi dharma? Right? What should be followed, what should not be followed, what need not be followed? And not only that, what if the host is not at home, on the battlefield, lying on the bed of arrows, and the person who has come as the guest is an enemy on the battlefield? What adjustments need to be done? Not only that, he is not just an enemy, but he is also the great grandson also, or grandson. Now what adjustments need to be done? And not only that, he has come along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who has also taken the side of the enemies. So now, if you see, things are not so simplistic. You know, this was the case of Bhishma. Of course, you would have understood. So now, Bhagavatam says he perfectly knew how exactly to do guest reception under such a complicated situation. So we have a very simplistic understanding of what is dharma and what is not. But in reality, dharma is very, very complicated. It is not so simple. So there must be some explanations given in Mahabharata as to whether it was perfectly right or wrong, in what aspect it is right, and in what aspect it's wrong. I'm sorry. So I have not read Mahabharata, but definitely there must be some explanations that must be given there, I think.
Well, I was assuming that Prabhuji ki, because Bhishma being a Kshatriya, mm-hmm. and so it's happening that some woman is getting disrobed in the assembly where a powerful Kshatriya who has taken a vow to protect his praja, and still he couldn't, you know, restrict anything. And mm-hmm. because I was assuming that because this reason, everyone has to suffer. Are they created some karma because of that, and they have to be killed by the hands of Arjuna, like that? I was assuming.
I don't know. We cannot assume, because these, as I mentioned, the principles of dharma are very, very complicated. It's not very simple. So we are dependent on the explanations of the acharyas to explain. You know, of course, there are two levels of looking at it, as we discussed in one of the previous discussions, that you know, there is a dharma shastric perspective, which is meant for those with karma shraddha, you know, that explanation would be there. And also there is a bhakti shastric perspective, of the same thing, which would be, which is meant to be understood by people who have bhakti shraddha, and the primary understanding is, you know, how Bhishma was a devotee and Krishna was orchestrating it to show the glory of Bhishma Dev, like that. So there are many perspectives. So it depends on the, while Mahabharata and its explanations by the acharyas may give the dharmashastric perspective, which is appropriate for the dharmic people to understand. The Bhagavatam and other sad bhakti shastras may present a totally different perspective, which is applicable for those with qualification for bhakti, actually.
Okay, Bhujay.
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, Krishna. Vajradhe Mataji. Can you unmute yourself, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Bhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Krishna?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Prabhuji,
this shloka which Bhishma spoke to Yudhishthira, in what context he spoke like that? That man is subservient to wealth and I'm bound to wealth of Kauravas, because he is also from Kaurava dynasty only, na?
Yeah, but here the Kauravas means Duryodhana. Duryodhana specifically. He is also a Kaurava in one sense. Yeah, you are right. He is also from the Kuru dynasty only. But here he is specifically referring to Duryodhana and the Kauravas. I don't know exactly what is the context, because I have not studied Mahabharata. I don't know. Is that okay, Mataji? Rajradhe Mataji, is that okay? Okay. Shyamdi Mataji?
Yeah, Prabhuji, you earlier spoke about the association, you know, being the solution to, like, you know, getting like-minded association and with affection, and also somebody who's senior to us. So, you know, especially it's sometimes difficult to find all of that in one person, all those qualities in one person, and especially because it's not that we are geographically, you know, we have the whole world to look for. We are constrained within our geography, and we have the, we don't have, you know, the reach is limited. So when we give the solution to most of the problems is finding devotees like that, it seems too ideal a situation. You know, sometimes, of course, if you're like-minded, you find a like-minded devotee, they may not necessarily be, you know, more experienced or more, you know, senior to you. Or sometimes if you have senior devotees, they may not be very like-minded. So, like, do we need to find more solutions to, you know, problems? Like, should we take up the onus on ourselves to find solutions to our own problems a little
yes.
bit?
You have to take the onus of finding a like-minded, affectionate, more advanced devotee. That is the onus that we should take. We have to take responsibility for that. You may find some like-minded, more advanced devotee, then by serving them and sincerely trying to hear from them and pleasing them, we may earn that affection also. So there is no choice. We cannot just say that, no, you know, I'm geographically separated and things like that. Yes, that may be there, but we will definitely find some like-minded affectionate association, like-minded more advanced association. We should probably invest in making it a little bit, earn that affection, and in that way, otherwise, for everything, we will say that, you know, I don't find any like-minded, affectionate, more advanced association. So I will only take it in my hands, and I will find a solution for this. I mean, this is not trying to be irresponsible by not taking the onus upon oneself, but one of the main onus or responsibility that we should take upon our own head is to actually invest in that kind of a relation and earning it, and so that we are in good hands, like that. Is that relevant, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Anything else anyone would like to add, share, ask? Okay. So now we still have about 12 minutes. Anything which may not be connected to what we have discussed today, because I had promised that last half an hour, you know, if there are any generic discussions or questions, we could take. If none of you are going to raise your hands, then maybe I will go to the next verse and go until 9:30. But I will wait for a few seconds to see if there are any other generic questions or comments or discussion points. Okay, I see one in the chat box. Is there any reason for Bhishma and Drona than the Arthadhas of Kaurava? I think the question is there any other reason for Bhishma and Drona to side with from a bhakti perspective, you can say that Bhishma perfectly understood the desire of Krishna, that is from the bhakti point of view. There could be other dharmic perspectives for it, I don't know. But from a pure devotional perspective, which Bhishma was certainly a very exalted pure devotee of Krishna, perfected pure devotee of Krishna. So from that perspective, according to Bhagavatam, he perfectly understood what was his role in the overall plan of Krishna, and he executed that role to perfection. So are there any other dharmashastric perspectives to this? I am not aware. There may be, but I am not aware. Okay. Anything else? Okay, if there is none, we will move ahead to the next verse. Okay, Sunar Sakim Mataji.
Hare Krishna Guru.
Yes, Mataji.
So, with Bhishma Dev, actually, he was supposed to being a devotee also and being a dharma practitioner, so he was supposed to oppose and strongly support Draupadi, but he could not, and still he is considered one of the 12 Mahatmas. So how it supports
this? That's what, Madhaji, that's what I am trying to understand. I am trying to mention here, dharma is not so simplistic as we are thinking. It's very, very complicated. So unless that's why I gave that example of Atithi Seva, the Atithi Dharma as practiced by Bhishma Dev on the battlefield, lying on the bed of arrows. You know, the things are not as simple as we think. For example, it's not like, let's take the example of Ayurveda. It's not like if I have a basic understanding of what is Kapha, Vata, Pitta, if there is a Kapha disorder, you take this. If there is a Vata disorder, you take this. If there is a Pitta disorder, you take this. I mean, it takes 2 minutes. With its 2 minute understanding, can I become an Ayurvedic doctor? What do you think, Mataji? Is it as simple?
No, Prabhuji, there are mixing and many subtle things are
there are many, 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 many subtleties, and generally they say that you know, even after real learning of Ayurveda starts after you complete your course. You know, when you actually learn from, you know, a guru and you know, properly learn the subtleties, that's how you actually learn. So even though you know, in ashram also many times, you know, people keep talking this way, you know, oh, kapha disorder, oh, vata disorder, you know, little bit here and there they have heard and read somewhere, read some WhatsApp messages and things like that, and then at ashram, you know, they become apne doctor swayam bane, you know, they become their own doctors, or and they prescribe medicines for others also. But in reality, things are not as simple as that. Things are very complex. So I'm not giving you the exact answer, but because I don't know, but the principle is that that there must be some very strong reasons which are you know, which may be quite complicated. And I'm sure the acharyas who have commented on Mahabharat must have commented on that. Since I have not studied it, I cannot say. But from a dharmic perspective, there must be some reasons why Drona and Bhishma did not respond. But maybe someone like Govind Prabhu may be able to answer this question. But I have not studied Mahabharat, so I don't know that much. Is that okay, Mahade?
And from bhakti point of view, Prabhu?
As I mentioned, I mean, from bhakti point of view, definitely, you know, it was it was some Krishna's plan that they were responding to. He was Bhishma was certainly, of course, this episode is not spoken about and highlighted in Srimad Bhagavatam. The pure devotional episodes and the real heart of Bhishma Dev actually is described in Srimad Bhagavatam in the form of his advice to Yudhishthir Maharaj as to how you cannot understand the plan of Krishna, and through his prayers when Krishna came. That is how the real heart of Bhishma Dev is described. So it's not that every single activity that is described in Mahabharat needs to have a pure devotional perspective. It may have, but unless an acharya has commented upon it, I do not know. But certainly the things which are highlighted in those episodes which are highlighted in the Bhagavatam certainly highlight very powerfully present the bhakti perspectives of the heart of Bhishma Dev, the devotee, like that. Is that okay, Mate?
Yes, Prabhu. I think he went through a lot of pain to see Draupadi in that situation, and that's what I understood, that he had he gone through a lot of pain and that helplessness, and that itself is a punishment for him. He was thinking as a paradukha dukhi, you know.
Great barrier, and he could not correct. Okay, anything else? We just have 3 more minutes left. If there are any final comment, we will take. If not, we will end today's session here. And next Friday is December 3rd, and December 3rd is according to the Tithi, the His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj's appearance day. So we are celebrating it here at GV. So next Friday we will not be able to have our Friday Bhagavad Gita discussion, but the Friday after that we can certainly have, and I'll be connecting with all of you from Chennai from next Friday onwards. So not from next Friday, from the Friday after that, but next Friday is His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj's appearance day according to Tithi, and we are celebrating it here at GV. So next Friday's class is cancelled, and the Friday after that we will continue. So thank you very much for your patient listening and your participation, and hoping to have your association on December 6th is Monday, 8th is Wednesday, 10th. So our next session will be on December 10th. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna. Thank you.